Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're doing something quite special, focusing on an event at the 390th Memorial Museum.
Yeah, it's centered around a new piece of art by John Mollison, isn't it?
Exactly. It commemorates Colonel Richard Bouchon's final combat mission, B-17 flight, April 13th, 1944, against Nazi Germany.
A really intense moment in history. And this artwork, it's about capturing that, preserving it.
It is. It's more than just the event, though. It's about the personal story behind it, you know? Making history feel, well, human.
Absolutely. It's that human scale that makes these stories resonate so powerfully. Not just dates and battles, but lived experience.
And highlighting that, Woody Gilliland from the Distinguished Flying Cross Society was there. Their whole mission is honoring that kind of courage and character.
Like Colonel Bouchon's. Did they present his medal?
They did. A framed duplicate of his DFC. A powerful symbol, really, of what he faced.
It really underscores the work these societies and museums do, keeping these stories, these acts of heroism, alive. Otherwise, they just fade, don't they?
They do. We also heard from the artist himself, John Mollison. He had a great perspective on this.
What did he focus on?
On the individual stories being the bedrock of history. That's what he tries to capture. Not just the plane, but the person, the experience.
That makes sense. History is made up of countless individual threads, isn't it? Focusing on one, like Colonel Bouchon's, helps us grasp the bigger picture.
Yeah, and the title Mollison chose for the piece, A Greater Mission Remains, I think that really nails it.
How so?
Well, it suggests that the mission isn't just over. There's still something for us to do to learn from that courage, that character.
That's a powerful thought. And it leads us right into Colonel Bouchon's own account of that day.
Exactly. He shared the whole story, starting with the mission briefing. April 13th, 1944. Target, Augsburg, Germany.
The Messerschmitt factory there. A high priority target, obviously, trying to cripple their aircraft production.
Definitely. He described the routine beforehand, up before dawn, shave for the oxygen mask.
Little details like that really bring it home, don't they? The rituals before facing extreme danger.
Breakfast, then the briefing. Target, route, expected defenses.
Which always included FLAC, German anti-aircraft fire.
Right. He mentioned they tried to route around the worst of it, but you couldn't avoid it completely over enemy territory. He even explained FLAC, the German acronym.
Fliegerabwehrkanone, anti-aircraft cannon. Just hearing the name emphasizes the direct threat.
So they arrive over Augsburg, 21 B-17s in their formation.
And then the bomb run starts, straight and level flight.
For 5 minutes. Directly over the target, right into the thickest flak. He said it was incredibly intense.
5 minutes flying perfectly straight while everyone's shooting at you, it must have felt endless. Necessary for accuracy, but incredibly dangerous.
And the cost was immediate. Three planes from their formation, gone. Just like that, over the target.
Wow. Nearly 15% of their group. Devastating.
So they turn for home, only 18 aircraft left.
But the danger wasn't over, was it?
Not at all. Soon after, the ball turret gunner calls out an oil leak. Engine number one. Not huge, but steady.
What did Colonel Bouchon do?
He decided to keep the engine running, try to stay with the formation. You know, safety in numbers.
A calculated risk. Staying together offered protection. But a leaking engine is always a worry.
Then, another problem. A massive storm cloud right in their path. Huge towering thing.
Couldn't fly through that, especially not in formation. Too dangerous.
Exactly. So they had to divert, go around it. But the detour took them right over a German airfield.
Oh, no. Out of the frying pan, into the fire? An airfield would mean concentrated flak, wouldn't it?
And accurate flak, he said. Almost immediately, things got much worse. The ball turret reported gushers of oil now from engines 2 and 3.
Gushers. That sounds critical, losing oil that fast. Those engines wouldn't last long.
He knew it was bad. Told the flight engineer, who was also the top turret gunner, to watch the oil pressure gauges like a hawk.
Ready to feather them.
Yeah. Told him to hit the feather button the second the pressure dropped. To stop the props windmilling and creating drag.
Crucial action. Feathering turns the propeller blades edge on to the wind, minimizing that drag. Needs quick reactions, though.
About 5 minutes after the airfield, engine number 2's pressure dropped. Engineer hit the button. Prop feathered perfectly.
Good. Reduced drag on that side.
Yes, but an unexpected problem. The windshield instantly frosted over. Cockpit went freezing cold.
Frosted over? Why?
The heat for the defroster came from the exhaust manifold on engine number 2. Engine out, heat source gone. Suddenly, they're flying partially blind.
Wow. One problem solved, another critical one created. In enemy territory.
And now they're alone, crippled. A single B-17, a prime target. Luckily, no fighters showed up right then.
Some small luck, at least.
Yeah.
But Engine 3 was still losing oil.
Yep. Minutes later, its pressure went. Engineer tried to feather it. Uh-huh. It wouldn't work. Not enough oil left for the feathering mechanism. The engine just seized up from the heat.
Oh, that's bad. What happens then?
The propeller didn't stop. The reduction gears inside the engine basically tore themselves apart, leaving the prop spinning freely in the wind.
Windmilling uncontrollably.
Exactly. He described it as having a small barn door hanging off the wing. Massive drag.
Incredible image. Just fighting against that huge resistance.
So now they're down to two engines. Number one, still leaking oil, and number four, the only good one left, over enemy territory.
Two engines out, one damaged, one good. What could they even do?
Turn for home immediately. Started a gradual descent to try and keep some airspeed. Just focused on getting back.
Just nursing at home. Must have felt like forever.
Must have. Finally, England comes into sight. Their airfield, but the approach was slow, difficult.
Were there other planes in trouble?
Loads. The sky was full of flares, red ones for wounded on board, green for mechanical problems. So many damaged planes, they had to circle the field once before they could even attempt to land.
Paints a grim picture of the mission's overall cost, doesn't it?
It really does. So they finally get cleared for approach. But because the plane's so damaged, they need extra airspeed to avoid stalling.
Meaning they'd land faster and further down the runway than usual?
Exactly. They touch down way down the 6,300-foot runway going fast, and then the brakes failed completely.
No brakes after everything else.
No brakes. They're speeding towards the end of the runway, and right there is the boneyard, the aircraft salvage dump.
Heading straight for a pile of wrecked planes. What did he do?
Instant decision. Maybe 600, 700 feet of runway left. He slammed the throttle full forward on engine number one, the leaky one.
Full power on one side?
Yep. Forced the plane into a ground loop, a controlled skid, basically. The B-17 spun hard right.
That's incredibly risky. Could have ripped the landing gear off.
Totally risky. But it worked. It spun into the soft, wet English mud beside the runway and just stopped, inches from the boneyard.
Wow. Incredible skill. And maybe a bit of luck with that mud.
He certainly thought so. The crew, all 10 of them, scrambled out, just unbelievably thankful to be on the ground in England.
I can only imagine the relief. What about the plane, the Belle of the Brawl?
Well, the crew chief came out, saw this oil-soaked, hole-ridden, mangled wreck. His comment was apparently, "She's a tenant. What did you do to my airplane?"
Huh. Bit of gallows humor, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Shows how much they cared for those planes, though.
Definitely. And the story of that specific B-17, it's quite something.
What happened?
He actually repaired it in just 25 days. It flew again.
Amazing. After all that damage.
But on its very next mission, after being repaired, it was shot down. Heavy losses, 8 killed, 2 POWs.
Oh, that's tragic. After surviving Bouchong's ordeal.
It really puts Colonel Bouchong's survival into perspective. He said he flew 7 different B-17s during the war. Every single one was eventually lost in combat.
That's unbelievable luck on his part, statistically speaking. The attrition rates were just brutal.
He had a funny story about that, actually. Said he only became a Scotch drinker when he found out the name of the one B-17 he flew that actually survived the war and made it back to the state.
Let me guess. Johnny Walker.
You got it. Anyway, his flying career didn't end there, of course. Went to test pilot school, flew 43 different types of aircraft eventually.
43 types. That shows incredible skill and adaptability. Test pilot school is no joke.
And even when this recording was made, he was still active, volunteering as a docent at the museum. Still sharp. Joked his vitality was down to his younger girlfriend.
Good for him, keeping that spirit.
His combat tour was actually quite short, wasn't it? First mission, late December 43. Last was this one in mid-April 44. About 4 months.
4 intense months. Average flight time, 7 hours. Longest over 11.
11 hours, 20 minutes, yeah. And his total military service, 32 years and 8 days.
A lifetime of service. Incredible dedication.
He admitted his biggest fear on that last mission wasn't dying, but ending up captured in Germany.
Understandable. And did he say his plane took damage on every mission?
Every single one. Some damage every time. And he confirmed he could and did fly purely on instruments when needed. Vital skill.
Absolutely essential. Total flight hours, around 6,000, you said?
Around 6,000, yeah. The whole event finished with people signing a commemorative poster for him.
A fitting tribute. Hearing his story, it just gives you such a visceral sense of what they went through. It's not abstract history anymore.
No, it's real. The courage, the sheer tenacity to keep going under that kind of pressure. It's humbling, really.
It really makes you think about resilience. and it highlights why preserving these individual accounts is so crucial. They offer lessons that go beyond just historical facts.
Like that saying, when an old person dies, a library burns.
Exactly. By capturing stories like Colonel Bouchon's, we keep those libraries open. We learn not just about the war, but about human character, about facing adversity. It's powerful stuff.
It truly is. A reminder that behind the grand sweep of history are countless individual moments of incredible challenge and bravery.